When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week in league, Manu Vadavai unfortunately leaves all his diamonds on the field and is about nothing but rocks in retirement.
CTE crisis in Canberra as their half is homesick for England despite living in a cold, dreary shithole full of complaining cunts with poor hygiene.
Mitchell Pearce not invited to the McKinnon twins' christening after his history of trying to fuck things with four legs.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 9 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in league. Welcome to episode 396 of this week in league. I'm Nathan.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm one of you cunts.
You've done it again. This is great. This is now the vibe I'm feeling. It's like this, like the comedian who's using the ventriloquist dummy on stage, and then the dummy, you make the dummy say all the horrible shit.
Hey, wait. Like, I love the look on Jay's face when you can just see he's like, fuck, now I've got to come up with something like worse next week. He's loving it. He's the fucking absolute worst ghostwriter ever.
What a TV show throwback that is. The fucking 90s. There were a couple of times when I was growing up when I was fortunate enough to be around somebody who was having their first time on pingers but hadn't told anybody that it was their first time on pingers. They did that, nah, I'm a fucking expert. I do this all the time. Yeah. I'm fucking all over this. So we'd sit back, you know, as we would with just our little carton of VB throwdowns. You know, that's all the buzz we needed. And you would watch this person slowly fucking devolve into an absolute fucking MDMA-fueled degenerate. And I haven't felt that close to that moment in like 20 years. But now it's all coming back to me.
No pingers required.
How good.
Now, you right, Glenny? You good?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. Just checking up on you. See how you've been.
It's very impressive pretending to give a fuck. I like it.
Oh, now that's not that's
checking
that's
on my welfare on, after mate. Shoving me off the cliff again for a second week.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, you know, this may happen till it gets old, and I quite frankly, I don't know if it ever will.
If I know, anyway, if I know you two, things don't get old.
Yep. Anyway, welcome new listeners. Let's get into the news. We actually do talk about footy at some time, yeah, at some stages. News this week. I know you've got a couple there. Hopefully, Jay. But the first one is the one that come around this morning, where there was a communication from the NRL to the players and match officials to remind everybody to adhere to the rules. Or the necessity to adhere to the rules. So as of round 9 this coming round, match officials have been reminded to take minimal tolerance for avoidable contact with the head or neck. And so while incidental or minor contact will continue to be penalised and potentially placed on report, they've been encouraged to use the sin bin or send-off mechanisms for contact deemed careless or reckless and involving a significant degree of force around the head and neck. And this is based on their priority for player safety. Also, officials have been called on to take stronger action regarding continuous or deliberate tactical breaches in relation to six again calls for 10-meter and ruck infringements. On-field officials will consider appropriate use of a penalty and a sin bin if it's considered necessary under the circumstances to ensure a higher level of compliance, including for repeat infringements or deliberate infringements early in the set. This does not need to be the same player on consecutive occasions. The team receives a general warning. Next player that infringes in the ensuing period could be sin-binned. So, basically, the thing that people didn't like about the six again, and also, I mean, the logical conclusion to the introduction of the six again, it's been figured out by teams over a couple of weeks and flouted by all ever since. And so now they're going, okay, so now we need to step that back and the referees need to enforce the rules of the game, not the rules that we gave them at the start of the season, but the rules kind of like they were before then, and use penalties and sin bins for, you know, what seems to be almost it's a commonplace almost that, you know, every time, you know, seven tackle set situation now, isn't it, when they get them pinned down in their own end?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So look, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's a natural progression when the rule changes, you know, they make a rule change which has an impact on the flow of the game, and teams then set about trying to exploit it to their, you know, gain some sort of advantage from it. Then the league has to react to that, and around we go. Some teams do it better than others. It's a fairly, like I said, natural progression, and yeah, I'm all for it.
And look, as far as like you know, blatant rule floutings have gone, at least this one doesn't necessarily impact player safety like chicken wings and
yeah,
that's it.
The shit, there's line stepping, and this was, you know, was it the crime of the century? No, but I do think that it will improve the game. Having them, you know, yeah, just walk it back a touch.
Yeah.
In terms of those particular infringements.
Hopefully, it is just a touch. Because you don't want to see that situation we had a couple of seasons ago where, you know, they were really nitpicky through the ruck and you ended up with 100 penalties a game. You know, hopefully it's a gradual progression. They find the sweet spot rather than going too far and having to come back again.
Yeah, but you remember that period with the 100 penalties a game? That actually started to destroy negative aspects of play from the Storm and the Roosters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then just when they got on top of it, you know, the media started fucking bitching and everything like that. And then they just completely, and then they just walked it back completely. And, it, you know, so what else do you want to talk about this week? What do you got there, stepdad?
Oh, there's not a lot of actual news. There's the usual, you know, speculations about player signings. And again, at this stage, it's all that hearsay before. So, you know, you've obviously got the Broncos who this week, I think, have pulled almost the biggest bitch move I've seen by a club in many, many years.
Many years. Out and saying that, since the that Tigers decided to keep Nofaluma and not go for Addo Carr.
Bitch move, not dumpster fire move.
Yeah.
Insane. They need the NRL to step in and stop these raids on their players.
The vultures.
They're being unfairly targeted by vultures. And then the next article is Broncos considering shock play for Raiders star Josh Hodgson. So with transfers and signings, we're all firmly in speculation phase. The most likely looks to be Xavier Coates to the Storm.
As far as a move away from the Broncos, yeah, they're looking like a 2-year deal there. Although, I mean, Katoni Staggs did sign. He did commit today.
Did re-sign.
So that's on a 4-year deal at the end of 2025, and he's likely to, you know, I think they have designs on him playing in the six for them going forward.
Yep.
And, you know, the way that they've managed to get their halves together over the last couple of years, almost the last, you know, the best part of the last decade, means that, you know, of course, I can't see anything going wrong there.
Yeah. The Cowboys have locked up Drinkwater.
Okay.
But apart from that, to
be an understudy to Chad and Dearden.
Yeah, that's it. The future of Reynolds, still nothing certain on that. So he's come out this week and emphatically declared that that his injury won't affect his contract signings.
Yeah, I honestly expected the Sharks to announce his signing this week. But, you know, it seems like it's not moving as quickly as I expected.
Do you think there's any chance he stays at South at this stage?
I'd hate to say no, but it doesn't, like, no one's talking about it, which means that, you know, there are people in the know with these things, and they allow things to get out into the you know, the media and so on, and like there's no media talk whatsoever of South being a potential place for him to land. You know what I mean? Like, it's always speculating about, oh, the Broncos are going to throw some coin at him, or the Sharks are going to throw some coin at him. And
I think a lot of that was, though, just, you know, there's that, again, staple of rugby league journalism. What can I make up and then just report on that as a possibility?
Yeah.
Like, did the Broncos make a serious play for him, or is it only because the Broncos had massive halves problems?
I feel like I heard the story that that Kevy and Donnie, they went down to Sydney over the weekend and actually met with him. And I think they may have met with Sean Johnson as well while they were down there. So like, the Broncos obviously need, you know, they need a halfback, and they're in the business of finding one at the moment. So I imagine that they're discussing it, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But again, apart from that, fairly scant news week.
Yeah, I agree.
Internationally, Samoa have apparently said no to the coaching of the Johns brothers.
Yeah, so they, like, Joey offered them up as like as a package deal, didn't they, for coaching purposes? And look, yeah, that's pretty much a non-story. I mean, how many games are Samoa going to play this year anyway?
Yeah, exactly. And the other one, again, not footy related, and I know we don't like to report on this sort of stuff, but did you see the photo of Jarryd Hayne circulating on social media?
I did.
With Corey Norman.
I did.
And
with Smooth Corey, yep.
On his left is Smooth Corey, and to his right is Twill Nation's own Special K Online, who has resurfaced and doesn't have an AVO for sexual misconduct from either of those players.
Well, no, they bite back, don't they?
Yeah, that's it. So essentially, if you look into his eyes there, you can see what he's saying there is, you know, Val, I've dumped you for somebody that was actually successful in the NFL. Played a game, so.
But yeah, look, honestly, fucking, like, the only thing you can say about that is Corey Norman is one of two possible guys. One, fucking ridiculously stupid.
Yes.
Or two, doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably more of the number. I mean, look, I'm not going to say anything about, you know, like, I don't think he's going to win the Nobel Prize for anything anytime soon. No. However, I also think that, yeah, I just don't think he gives a fuck. I mean, he's mates with him, and that's the end of it. And,
you know
how these players are. I mean, there's like an unnamed, like, the way that these players fucking flock together. We're not gonna name names in this story, but one of our beloved members this week tells us that, yeah, that Robbie Farah started liking pictures of his on his chick's Instagram, on his girlfriend's Instagram, and then, like, hours later, oh, now fucking, yeah, Shandor Earl's liking pictures on Instagram, and then it's like someone else is liking pictures. So there's obviously, like, I don't believe in coincidences. There's like, her Insta, yeah, got blew up in the WhatsApp and got passed around. And so, look, honestly, this is not a sport for the brain surgeons. It was, no. You know, it may have been in the 80s and 90s when they had to work a job in the daytime. But now it is professional sportsmen, and they're not known for their common sense.
That's it.
And so, you know, fucking Corey. And, like, you know, Corey's trying to get, like, you know, contract extension. Yeah, he's just, Like, yeah. How fucking stupid do you have to, you know, like how against your own interests do you have to be? You know what I mean? Like, fuck, man, just lay low, try and play well, which is a problem for him at the moment.
Yep.
And let the rest have, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Previews for the upcoming round 9 of the 2021 NRL season kicking off Thursday night. The South Sydney Rabbitohs take on the Melbourne Storm at Stadium Australia. The Rabbitohs side, obviously some big, big changes. We had Adam Reynolds out with his injury for several weeks with a thumb injury. Benji comes into half. Walker moves to 5/8. Johnson to fullback. Masters and Milne are the wingers. Jackson Polo out with the wrist injury. Braden Burns comes back in to take the vacant centre spot from the reshuffle. Arrow moves to lock. Cam Murray's out with an ankle injury. Totola returns to replace Jai Arrow at prop, and Jed Cartwright returns on the bench. So there's a fucking lot. The Storm, they have Jennings and Asafa Solomona both return. Lewis drops to the reserves. And what else have we got here? Eisenhuth out injured. Riley Jacks is omitted from the 21.
Mm.
Great clash, this one, at full strength for both sides.
Mm.
And a great little litmus test to see where they both, you know, just how they're positioned against each other. But it's been completely robbed of all that with a ton of quality out of each side. I mean, the Storm already coping without Pappy. I think he's back next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rabbits, I just think, you know, I think the Rabbits without Reynolds and this big reshuffle, obviously necessitated by Latrell also being out. I just don't know if they're going to be able to put that. Like Benji had some excellent touches last week. I mean, he had some deadly touches that chimed in and made that left-hand side sing the same as it always did. But then he also, you know, Benji also does have his Benji touches as well where, you know, he can put him in the third row and the rest of it. I think without Reynolds there to provide, you know, an additional point of danger,
yeah,
it's a lot harder for him to create, especially against such a well-drilled defensive side as the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah. Also, I don't think Benji has the consistent kicking game when both teams are in the grind to keep CS in the game. If Reynolds and Mitchell were in, I would actually probably be – I would lean towards CS in this game. But the fact that they're both out, and especially Reynolds against the Storm – when you know they're going to just tighten the screws, tighten the screws, tighten the screws, and you've got to stay in the game. Benji, you know, everyone talks about his game management, how much it's improved at this later stage of his career, but I still don't think he's keeping a side in the grind against Melbourne.
No, he's not. Benji is not managing a game. Benji's managing moments.
Mm.
Yep.
Benji can take a 5-minute period and do a couple of Benji things within that period that can turn a game certainly, or that can shift momentum or really give the team a spark, but he's not managing an 80-minute football game super effectively.
Agree.
And if you look at the Storm, you still have Hughes and Munster.
Mm-hmm.
Leading them around the park. And Hughes especially, who has very quietly and in the most workmanlike of fashions pretty much taken control of this team. You know, his performances this year, you know, I said it last week, he would be close to the most improved player over the last 24-month period, and which is saying something, especially considering the position he plays. So just based on the class they've got in the halves, as well as the experience in their forward pack. You know, South's dangers all in their outside backs, and they're missing too many of them. So I think I have to go with the Storm here.
Yep, same.
Same.
Friday, 6 p.m. game, the Panthers take on the Sharks at BlueBet Stadium. the Panthers, unchanged 17. They've got Hopgood replacing Brent Naden on the extended 21, but yeah, I don't think that'll affect anything. Sharkies, Dugan has been named in New South Wales Cup as well as in the number 19 for their first grade side. Ramien returns to the centres, Wilton benched, and Hamlin Ueli out with an ankle injury. I don't think we need to discuss this one further. The Panthers will win and
13
win
plus.
Extremely well. 30 plus, I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree
with
that.
The Sharks are tanking for the draft picks that's never going to come. So, I'm not sure how much fight's left in them, to be honest. I mean, you'd think there'd be enough to avoid a spoon, but...
Yeah, not enough to get within a bull's roar of Penrith.
Yeah. Actually, it'd almost be worth a D-gen multi on this one, to be honest.
Just every Panther is a try scorer. Yeah, is it any time try scorer?
Well, I don't think they're going to score 17 tries.
Do you know how much of a bloodbath this is going to be? Dane Laurie's going to score for Penrith. That's how fucking open the field's going to be.
The Eels take on the Roosters in the Friday night football match. The Eels side, same 1-17. Same 17 with Paulo named the starting prop. Kafusi drops to the bench. The Roosters, okay, so Teddy returns at fullback, and that is very fucking timely. Manu shifts to centre, replacing the injured BMOS. Takeaho replaces Lindsay Collins, who's out with an ACL. It's kind of the forgotten ACL from last week, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sam Verrills is out, and he had a detached retina or some shit, didn't he?
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
And Ben Marshke named hooker. Kieran joins the bench. Tupanua is suspended. He's out. Nat Butcher starts in the back row. And Asalika Fifita joins the bench. So, look, I hate to say it, but I think the Eels, just by virtue of having a settled 17 that's been performing pretty well. I mean, like, they've obviously been winning a ton of games without being spectacular in most of them. But, they were great last week. And I just think that at some point, the Roosters can't take they just can't take any more fucking losses. I mean, it's a big in for them to have Teddy. But, you look at the outside backs and you go, okay, yeah, so Josh Morris and Joey Manu in the centres and Tupou and Ikevalo on the wings with, Teddy at fullback, that's great. But you super inexperienced halves, the hooking position, they must be down to about their fucking fourth drop now at this point in hooker.
Is Radley going that well at lock that they don't put him back to nine? Like, there's obviously wraps on this Marshkin, but...
Yeah, well, in game situations, Radley takes some of the burden off him, but
yeah,
just when's the breaking point for the Roosters?
Yeah, I was wrong about the Roosters earlier in the season, and I predicted something along the lines of what you were saying, Nate, to happen when Keary went down, and I think they've lost one game since. So, I don't know. I wouldn't back against Parra to not shit the bed here. So I'm going to lean towards the Roosters to keep it going at least for another week.
Yeah, I think the Roosters are just that well drilled enough that there's a lot of injuries and there's a lot of replacements and a lot of out of positions.
Yep.
But again, the Storm have shown us for years that as long as you can have essentially what's a very simple game plan based on territory, as much possession as you can handle, and impeccable handling, then really you can overcome most teams. But I'm going to back the Roosters here just to get home with a bit too much class for Parra.
I think Parra a bit more settled. I think they'll probably get away with it, to be honest.
Yeah, but here's the thing, that a couple of Fergie drops. And all of a sudden they're rattled.
There's more
dangers in the Eels game than there is in the Roosters.
Yeah, I mean the fact that they've got a massively inexperienced halves and hooker, that Teddy's the only guy that's got any experience in their spine at the moment. I mean, I like Walker, what we've seen so far, but I mean Walker, has been nurtured into first grade, surrounded by some experienced guys, and you just fucking keep losing two more every week. Mm. you know, to the point where, you know, there's not going to be that, you know, that much experience around to hold his hand. So we shall see.
It's like World War One. You know, you're a fresh-faced rookie 1 week, and within 2 weeks, everyone you knew is dead.
Yeah, so you've been promoted to Lance Corporal.
This is actually the best thing the Walker's ever done.
Because everyone above you is dead.
Yeah, exactly.
The Raiders take on the Knights at McDonald's Park. Is that real?
Wagga Wagga.
Or they mean McDonald Jones Stadium?
No, Wagga Wagga.
It is. Oh, Wagga. Okay, cool. Okay, so Canberra Raiders side. Okay, so Papali'i is back in the front row. Ryan James drops to the reserves. Williams returns at half after a late dropout of last week. the Knights side. Crosland is named in the halves to replace the injured Blake Green. Hunt returns on the wing with Stafford Tyre dropping out of the 17 and into 19. This tough one. Two sides that are kind of doing it.
Yeah.
Tough at the moment.
Yeah.
Knights are, you know, they're disappointing across 18 minutes. You know, the Raiders can really put in for half a game.
It's one. It's been one try over 3 second halves of football.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Damning stats.
It is, but I mean, once again, you know, the Newcastle Knights here, they're rolling out without proper halves, really. I mean, Kurt Mann and Phoenix Crosland is your combination.
Mm.
For all the problems the Raiders have at the moment, yeah. I mean, at least they've got, like, you know, they've got proper fucking halves.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like the wheels are falling off the Raiders, but if they were playing anyone other than the Knights this week, it would get a whole lot worse and there'd be a lot more media scrutiny with what's going on at the club, with Hodgson standing down and, you know, injuries, all the rest of it. But the Knights, they're in a world of hurt. I think the Raiders will win 1-12.
Especially with Joey Harpenay's misses running the interchanges this week.
Oh, there'll be a clockwork.
I expect a much better second half. Sorry?
No, I'm serious.
What's the matter?
I'd swear that I heard a different pronunciation of his name this year.
There is a guy
in the Doggies.
Who's Topine?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's T-O-P instead of T-A-P.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that's how his name is pronounced.
If we're incorrect and someone's in the know.
Yeah, fucking, you know, tell us.
Let us know.
Because we know we don't, you know, we definitely don't try and be willfully ignorant in terms of like the way we pronounce things.
That's
it. So we were agreed that we are all three of us saying Raiders on that one.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. West Tigers versus the Gold Coast Titans at Campbelltown, and they were in a special West jersey. It's only about fucking 6 years after Tommy Radonic has died, but yeah, they're finally rolling out a fucking proper West jersey for him. Now the Tigers side, Tommy Talau suspended. Which gives up Moses Umbai, the four. Little replaces him on the bench, and Roberts remains out after withdrawing last week. The Titans side. Okay, so Tino returns from suspension up front. Fotowaika is benched. Sammy moves to the wing, replacing Smooth Corey, who's injured. And Bo Firma moves into centre. Jamin Jolliffe replaces Sam McIntyre on interchange. And on my list here, I see Ash Taylor, but is he not... Did I read something today that he's injured and something?
Yeah, so did I. Let me just, while you're talking, go back through.
Yeah, I thought I read something about he was injured and he was suffering from form and injury issues. And I'm like, well, you know, why do you have to bring up the form issues if he's injured?
There we are. Titans playmaker Ash Taylor has been ruled out of Saturday's stash with the West Tigers as he battles to return to full fitness after off-season hip surgery. Tanner Boyd will take his place in the starting side.
It's like 2.5 months into the fucking season, though. I mean, when did he start struggling with the... Like, that means if he's struggling from surgery from, you know, the off-season, he's been struggling. This is the ninth
start
week.
Start calling him Betty White shortly. Yeah, he's got hip problems.
Who I reckon the Tigers are a big chance in this game. I don't rate the Titans a lot at all. I mean, it's just the Titans are just going to have to decide what. Sorry, the Tigers are just going to decide what kind of side are they this week. Are they one of these teams that gets fucking absolutely cucked for a David Fifita hat trick, or are they a team that shuts him the fuck down?
Well, I think that will all depend. And Glenn, you'll be able to tell me. So David Fifita scores a lot of tries, and he scores them from very close to the line. How good's the Tigers' goal line defence been against big men this year?
Fucking hopeless.
There you go.
Also, he tends to score. He tends to be on the end of the movement when they're sort of heading down the left-hand side.
If I could just interject and correct you, Jay, he's also scored several long-range tries by running over the top of
also,
poor hapless cunts.
Also down the left.
So who defends on the left?
Look, it depends. There might be another Madge masterstroke where
I wonder if Madge hides him on the right.
Pisses him somewhere.
So what's the game plan going to be? To confuse him
and
put no one for him to run over in front of him, just leave gaping holes and hope it freaks him out.
Have you ever been riding a bike and someone threw a stick in your spokes? That's the Tigers' game plan, at least with Fifita. But look, Fifita can't win the game on his own. They've got to overcome. The Titans still have to overcome the class of Zach Sini, Dane Laurie, and Jake Simpkin. And I don't think they have it in them. Tigers at Campbelltown, big occasion, West Jersey. What could possibly go wrong? 13 plus.
The only thing for me that is actually making me think that the Tigers won't win is the fact that
you tip against them every week.
Big events go, this year we've had Tommy's honour game and Anzac Day.
Yeah.
How did they go in those rounds?
Also, round one, that's a fairly big occasion in any season. Yep. I rest my case.
No, I'm saying these occasions are bigger than the game.
Bigger than the game?
Yes.
Look, to say that we've got an unflattering record would be a fair understatement.
I honestly expect the Tigers to win this game.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, I know. Okay, the Cowboys.
I expect nothing.
you're not gonna make any big statements?
I already have. I've already made a big statement, but
was it the Gold Coast Titans can't win? Is that what you said?
Can't win. Mainly because they're shit fans.
Right. Yeah, that's true. The Cowboys take on the Brisbane Broncos at the Abattoir up there in North Queensland. The Cowboys side, Clifford returns at halfback. Ben Hampton is out injured. Justin O'Neill's out. Javid Bowen is his replacement at centre. Broncos, 1-17.
Who's little brother? Last week. Who's little brother in this game?
I want to say...
Based on 2015.
Broncos.
Based on 2015.
Well, based on 2015 and also based on the latter, Cowboys won more games than the Broncos anyway, haven't they?
True.
They won at least one more game, I'm pretty sure.
That's it.
So, man, this is another tough one. It's a tough one to call.
If this was in Suncorp, I think I'd back the Broncos.
Yeah.
So just based on that, I think we'll have to go the Cowboys.
Cowboys are so hard to draw a bead on, though.
They are.
Like at this, you don't know which team they are from week to week. Even last week, they were fucking atrocious in the first half, and then they managed to claw it back.
Both of them.
Broncos. Like the first 20 minutes was just like the worst first 20 minutes by any side this season.
They were both getting blasted, only to albeit the Cowboys didn't quite get there, but they came back with a wet sail. But I think Cowboys
at home. But yeah, without great confidence though. The mighty Manly Seagulls take on the Warriors at Brookvale. Manly side lost Marty to Powell through HIA or, concussion for a week. And Josh Aloye has a wrist injury, apparently. And so obviously mowing the lawn out there at Brookie. So it means that Olaquadu will start, which is great. The more game time he has, the better. And I think he's like second for line breaks, I think, in back rows at the moment. He hasn't played fucking half the season. So, hopefully he can keep that going. Moses Suli has been named on the in 15 on the bench. So perhaps this is the new era for Moses Suli where he's going to have to realise that he's a big frame, and unfortunately he's not as fast as Harper and anymore, and he's not as good at getting the ball to Jason Saab as Harper is. So perhaps he may be facing his reality of moving to the back row.
Oof.
I don't know. Let's face it, he's big enough, and I guess he's skillful. I guess he's skillful enough coming from the backs.
Yep.
So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that's actually the case. And we do see Zach Sadler, finally the long-awaited Zach Sadler, appearing in the 17 due to the depleted prop stocks. He's a gun, so hopefully he gets some decent game time. But fucking who knows? I mean, like Moses Sully surely can't be in the back. He can't be in the reserves as a reserve for the backs.
No.
So, you know, it makes me wonder, do we see, like, you know, maybe a surprise Ben Turbo debut as well this week? In the 18.
Or is Dez hinging against something in terms of, you know, there's been a couple of injuries lately.
Mm.
Does he want someone with a little bit of versatility?
Yeah, but I mean, like the back line is, considering the back line consists of one Tom Turbo, six Kieran Foran, injuries have been remarkably fucking thin on the ground in that respect. So, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, because you could always have Cuss there as some sort of, he's a smaller utility sort of guy. And I know he's supposed to be, you know, kind of like the backup sort of, you know, pinch hitter, you know, in nine. But he's been getting so little game time lately anyway.
Yeah, true. That,
you know, fuck, what are you using him for? The Warriors side. Okay, so Eliasa Katoa returns, who replaces Ben Murdoch-Masila. Ewan Aitken and Chanel Harris-DeVita appear as reserves. I'm not sure if they're going to make their way back yet. It seems like they're just getting closer. I think Manly. Well, if they play as well as they have the last 4 or 5 weeks, no problem at all with the Warriors.
Yeah.
They beat them the first time without Tommy Turbo, so this is, you know, child's play.
You know, Manly played a pretty good brand of football last week, and the Warriors are not the Panthers defensively.
Yep.
So I think Manly's just got too many points.
Look, it does concern me that with Aloye out, because I mean he's been fucking awesome this year, and Tapau as well. But it doesn't bother me as much because Fanua Blake's out for the year or for a very long time for the Warriors as well. And I mean he was the engine behind all of their early round success as well. So
yeah, he was.
I mean, you're if right. he was there, you know, I'd feel you know more nervous about it. But I still think we got him covered.
Yep.
Yeah, Manly by plenty.
The Dragons take on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. And, you know, there's the old adage about, you know, saving the best for last. Not in round 9 of the 2021 NRL season. The Dragons versus the Doggies at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. The Dragons side, Fuimoto moves to the back line to cover the injured Zach Lomax. Farmacilli returns on the bench, replacing Jackson Ford. And the Doggies, okay, so changes from last round. DWZ shifts to fullback. Meany goes to the wing. Lachlan Lewis is in the extended reserves in number 19 after a few weeks missing with the concussion after that terrible fucking situation where he was left on the field staggering around like Glenn before the 2014 NRL Grand Final.
I was like, wow, that's out of nowhere, but that was provided context.
Or like staggering around like Glenn after the 2015 NRL Grand Final.
I feel like there's a theme here.
Yeah, he successfully returned via the New South Wales Cup last week, so it appears that he's not going to be one of those guys that has the ongoing week by week, you know, concussion.
Yep.
Hangover. Look, you'd like Dragons, I guess.
I think you have to go the Dragons.
They were the thing is about the Dragons, they were great at the start of the game when to the point where they got that 6-0 lead.
Yep.
Then they lost Lomax and they were absolutely fucking terrible.
And he's a big loss for them.
Bigger than I think that they would have thought. I mean, considering, you know, you get a guy and he's out in the centres and, like, centre's not traditionally like a position on the field where a guy is going to have like a big holistic influence on the fortunes of the side.
Yeah.
But when he went off, they noticeably dipped and they never got back. You know, they never got it back.
Yeah.
What does it say about the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs in 2021 when the Dragons, after being handed a loss last week by the West Tigers, who, you know, everyone knows haven't been playing fantastically well so far this season.
Yeah.
And the Dragons are $1.28 favourites against the Bulldogs, who are $3.75 in the head-to-head to win this game.
Like, yeah, that's it.
That says a lot about Canterbury, and I just think the halves. Corey Norman isn't in great form, but Ben Hunt with last week under his belt, I think he'll be better. I just think the Dragons will probably be just that touch more creative. And certainly, you only have to be a touch creative to be more creative than the Dogs. So I think they'll win.
Like on paper, the Dragons have the side to do it, right?
Yes.
But they and look, you know, we say that knowing how well they started the season, but they've been pretty fucking ordinary ever since Josh McGuire turned up.
Yeah, true.
And I mean, it's fun to talk about meetings and parties, blah blah blah. But like one player, surely.
Yeah, correlation is not causality.
Yeah. I'd love it to be, as much as I would love it to be. Like, in this particular case?
I think it could be an indication of bigger issues in terms of the implementation of Griffin Ball. As in, if there was a nucleus of players that had an understanding of what they were doing and had a certain culture within the club, and then all of a sudden you throw a new element into that, that can disrupt it to a stage.
I would also put it to you that even though the edict has come down from the NRL this week in terms of giving the penalties and the, you know, changing the six again a little bit, I would put it to you that over the last couple of weeks, they've been doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Not in terms of giving penalties, but in terms of just allowing more latitude and holding down in the ruck and that sort of thing. It just feels like that's they've just, you know, quietly, without making any fanfare, just quietly sort of just dialed it back a little bit.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, the Dragons were just one of those sides that were, you know, very suited to the, you know, to the touch football.
Yeah.
Just non-stop style. And, you know, just dialing it back has brought, you know, taken away any advantage they may have had.
Just on, Jay, you mentioned culture before. Just on Josh McGuire, right? You guys have operated in high level business capacity, right? So, and no doubt you've encountered a toxic, you know, the impact that a toxic individual can have in a business sense on a team or whatever, right? But generally, it takes a little while for the cancer to set in and become apparent and take full effect. Just how much of a cunt do you have to be for it to be in immediate effect the moment you walk through the gate?
Yeah, look, I'm not saying that he's in it. Necessarily fuck something up because of who he is, and don't get me wrong. From all reports, he is a
special reputation,
individual.
Right?
So you know, when it comes to things he enjoys, you know, the story
plenty
about
of
dangling
out there.
Dangling your jersey or your boots or whatever it is out the window of a bus and making kids in a third world nation chase, thinking they're going to get it, and then pulling it in the window and laughing about it.
Yeah,
you know that. That tells you all you need to know. But I think in normal business settings, whether people do it intentionally or not, you know, and toxic people don't often think that they're toxic or know that they're toxic. And there's that level of cover that just being a new person gives people in a corporate setting. I think when you're talking about things like a rugby league team, essentially, a lot of the qualities that would make somebody considered a toxic person could be perceived
really
as advantageous.
Point. Really good point.
On the field, you know, the whole "I'll go out and I'll take someone's head off" or "I'll do this, that, or the other," that could be advantageous. So maybe it's just that subconsciously there isn't that cover, and maybe when he turns up, the bare bones are just there for everybody to see. Who knows? That's just a hypothesis. But
I would, because I'd actually
changed with the Dragons, and the cohesiveness of that team.
Yeah, and I honestly, I think it's got nothing to do with him. I think it's just a complete coincidence, because at the end of the day, you know, people who are toxic within a team environment to the point where they're going to get shown the door or willingly, gladly traded mid-season, it's usually they're not happy with something in the first place, and so they act the cunt to get the release that they want. They make them they make their position untenable so they can get out.
That's it.
And so he would be then delighted because he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
So then he would be delighted that he got out of where he was, and now he should be in a happier place. So he may be the fucking loveliest guy in the world to everybody around him at Dragons HQ.
That's true.
You know, so maybe they've just shit. Because I mean, like, why are we even discussing the Dragons starting a season well and then fucking falling off the cliff? I mean, it's only happened every fucking year since recorded history. So anyway, so we're gonna say Dragons to win despite all of that. Dragons to win. Okay, time to take a little bit of a look at the mailbag this week. And I've got to say, some fucking rubbish contributions this week, team. You got to lift. Some real shit that we always talk about or never, you know, enjoy talking about. Dan, though, said, shout out to Tarpanay's missus for super coaching. Ryan James played the first 23 minutes and never came back. Soliola got 9 minutes total. No wonder they fade in the second halves. They're all blowing, waiting for changeovers that aren't going to come. She's a rugby league icon in the making. Anyone willing to call out Sticky as a sook and a subpar coach is all right by me. Agreed. Agreed. One's a bit of a fucking mouthful to get out, so I hope I do it justice. From James. If COVID gets McKinnon'd to the power of BMOS and money wasn't an issue, would you guys consider international meetups? With the game potentially taking off in the States, New York and Vegas could be on the cards. The Big Apple would be hit harder than Matt Lodge flying a plane into the World Trade Center whilst carpet bombing Twill tourist stickers.
Fucking Jesus.
Like, I mean, that was jam-packed full of... Look,
we would do international meetups.
I mean, if it
meetups.
Took off that big in America... I mean, like, I would fucking relocate the entire box and dice over there to fucking...
Well, that's it. And especially...
ESPN Rugby League, like, you know, like a pardon the interruption fucking Rugby League edition
for
Americans.
And here's the thing, if money was no object, as your question says, fucking of course.
Yep.
If money was no object, there's very little I wouldn't consider. I'd be over in America... with fucking Beyonce's tongue going up my date like a fat kid up a slip and slide. If money was no object.
Wouldn't he go down the slip and slide?
Well, it comes out at the end.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, righto.
Yeah, fuck yeah, of course. We just need Netflix to take an interest in rugby league.
Yeah.
As soon as Netflix takes an interest in rugby league, that's set. We'll get programming.
Yep.
How do you think our opening lines would go on the American rugby league?
Oh, they'd be right for Adult Swim or something at 4 a.m.
Okay.
They put us on after the Eric Andre show or something.
Look, I still – America's a special fucking place.
Yes, it is.
There was an HR – issue once. It was after the GFC, and the company I was working for at the time was an American company, and they had this big thing about staff, and because, you know, people were getting abused a bit in America, yelled at and stuff, and this girl was here giving a presentation about all this, the bad stuff. She's, you know, the company's here to support you. If anything goes wrong, they're great. And then I'll detail an experience from my own life. And she was talking about how she was abused by a customer, and had to have all of this mental health therapy, and now suffers from anxiety and this is all because of this one person and what they said. And somebody said, well, what did they say to you? And she said, look, you know, just to show you how serious it was and how grateful I am for the therapy that's been given to me and all this stuff, they called me the C word. And then somebody else has called out from the other side of the auditorium, I was called that 3 times this morning. And then added, by my mum.
That's enough out of you, Mr. Blakely.
To which this girl's like I've never known anybody that, you know, has been in combat in Vietnam, but I tell you what, I saw a 1,000-yard stare that was pretty fucking close. So yes, I'd be happy to go to America just for the shock value alone.
Yeah, and like at the end of the day, it wouldn't be even like meetup. It'd have to really take off for it to be considered meetups. I mean, would we go over there if money was no object and go over there and like follow the fucking American League around and watch a couple of games and stuff? Fuck yeah, of course.
Here's the thing. In America, though, it wouldn't need to be like a meetup. You'd put on there that it's a media event.
Yeah.
And you'd hold it in LA.
Yeah.
And there'd be people turning up just because it's a media event.
And I'd take like, you know, someone like, you know, Munster or Cheese or whatever as a special, you know, guest, you know, celebrity and just fucking on it in America. You got like, yeah, the idea is you got to take someone that can fucking party though. Like, you know, that could actually, yeah, that's not going to fucking wipe out. Nathan says, if you're Ricky Stewart, how many minutes are you given to Tarponet this week?
80.
Yeah.
Yeah, 80 or zero, isn't it?
That's it.
Depending on how cunt you want
to
be.
I'd give him 80 and then I would consult with Jay to bring out the most detailed fucking stat line and print it out and say, go and jam this down your missus's throat.
If he does the 80 though, that's the thing too. I mean, if he's absolutely fucked after 60 minutes, starts missing tackles and things like that, then he gets to ream him in the video session through the week as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he gets to splice the video and send a copy of that to his missus. Just, you know, just prove the point.
That's it.
Yeah. Terry said, would you say the hashtag fuck the Broncos throwing all their cap money at stags is a bit like a desperate woman proposing to a floppy-dicked loser because she wants children and anyone will do now?
Well, hashtag my dating secret's exposed.
I'm looking for another one here because we actually had one that was in the form of a comment on the website. Now, these things come through like fucking Halley's Comet.
Jesus.
I mean, they're that rare. And so this one comes from, let me fucking just expand it out a bit so good. It's David of the Como Crocs.
How good.
And it says, for discussion, the highest paid fucks in the game, team of the decade. I know, so true. So me and OCK were putting a team together last night, the key factor being paid plus 500K. We're missing a few players from the all-time squad. So this must be so far he has. Aaron Woods is the captain, Andrew Fifita, Milford, Dugan, Bird, Umbai, Cohen Hess, Jared Croker, Ash Taylor, Blake Ferguson, Joey Leilua, Brody Croft and Matt Lodge with the coaches Ricky Stewart. His notable omissions are number one, Cartwright, because he's not being overpaid now.
Yep.
And two, the combo, i.e. Luke Brooks. I'm not sure I can explain these attributes in this forum. You can fucking explain. Dude, you can explain any attributes to us. I don't even know what to speculate.
The fucking combo love attributes.
Yeah. I would like to put it to him that there's nothing that can't be discussed in this forum. That much is clear.
Yeah. The line's pretty fucking far away.
Getting further every episode.
Yeah, thanks to Glenn and his fucking potty mouth.
Yeah.
I just want to be like you guys.
And there's no fatherly advice to be given out this week, fellas. So you've got the week off.
Yeah, good.
And we did see though in the Facebook group through the week that our advice was taken on board, and the youngster in question declared himself for the Cowboys.
Yes.
So it's good to see.
Good, and I hope everyone's supporting what is not a choice. It's just how he is. So
on that note, that's full time for episode 396. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab our links to our Patreon, social media communities, and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And if you'd like to support the show, you can join as a patron. Drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and fuck it, the easiest way to support us is just to tell a friend. We did get a curious review this week. I need to fucking find it just quickly. Bittersweet review, I've got to say. Here we go. Found it. Someone came through the Apple Podcast store, as they do. There is no other NRL podcast quite like this one. 5 stars. From Seriously, though, except it's SWRIO. Yeah, that's just a typo. So they just tried to chuck in a name really quickly for reasons that you'll understand soon. Once you get past the unnecessary degeneracy and average banter, you'll find some surprisingly basic hot takes and footy analysis. the only thing that I object to on that is like the thing about the hot takes. I don't think none of us have ever said anything on this show that is more than just what we think about saying at the time. You know what I mean? It's like none of us are going, oh, fuck, I don't know if I'm gonna drop this fucking take and it's going to be a spicy one.
Yeah, spicy take.
I hope the fucking listeners are ready for this one.
Yeah.
Nah. The rest of it, bang on.
That review is like walking in on your grandparents fucking. Like, you'll take it in, but you're not sure how to feel. Like, I don't know if I should be happy, complimented, fucking. How do you feel about that? It's five stars, but it's fairly understated.
Aren't you a fucking happiness black hole?
Like, not the first time I've been called that.
Well, if, you know, your grandpa has fucking, you know, I assume, fought in global conflicts or, you know, at least supported people or industries while others were doing so.
One of you remind me off record to tell you about the story of my grandfather. Anyway, please continue.
Oh, fucking, here we go.
I'm going to guess he ejaculated in your grandma. I mean,
at least twice.
Why do I feel like as soon as time travel's invented, Glenn's going to text us? Be like, I told you, cunts, I got something to show you. And it's going to be the most average 4 minutes.
Hence, I asked you to remind me.
But if you walk in on your grandparents, why wouldn't you be happy? Well, you know, except in my situation, it'd mean that the zombie apocalypse had started.
You know? Mine too, for like three quarters of the number. Yeah. Yeah.
What would you just cheer your pop on? Ooh. Into its sun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fuck. You know,
new level every week, my brother.
Your grandma's, you know, surprisingly flexible.
from a time where I'm sure that missionary was like the only position going around, they display a much higher degree of innovation than I anticipated.
Yeah,
there's not two humans on the face of this planet that could make me regret bringing that up more than you two. So thank you very much.
Job done.
Yeah, because picturing your grandparents fucking is something you'd never regret.
Fucking hell. Speaking of grandparents fucking, I'd love to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons over there on Patreon. So a big thank you to Winston, Marlon, and Nortz, all legends again on the Revelation tier. And in the case of Winston and Nortz, look forward to catching up with you boys very soon. Marlon, one day on the previous question about going to the States, because Marlon has been on board as a member with the show for fucking ages. I don't know if it's day one, but if it's not day one, it's pretty close from all the way over there in the States. So
whereabouts?
Oh, fuck. Now you put me on the spot. I know we've had discussions about it before. I would see his name come up in the members each year, and you know, obviously you're shooting stuff over to the States, for membership packs and stuff like that. So I was always thinking, like, you know, what's the story there? Because it's not someone that, you know, that interacted with on Twitter, you know, at all. And here we go. Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh. Well, so fucking, we are definitely having a meetup at your place and eating fucking hot chicken.
Yes, so exactly. You could take us to fucking all the spots.
You can keep that country music garbage. Fuck that shit. But
I'll karaoke some country.
Look, this is what we do. This is what we're doing. We're having a meetup in Nashville, Tennessee. We're smashing a bunch of hot chicken, and then we'll go down to Jack White's studio in Nashville and do a live show and record it to vinyl at Jack White's vinyl production facility and release it as a limited edition.
We'll do an episode where we show him the Hilltop Hoods and get his live reaction.
Oh my God, they're the Meg White of hip hop.
Wow, why are these assholes talking about being on a bus?
All time favorite. Love it.
Finally, let's hit the tipping. Okay, so Jim, J-I-M-E-K-R, however that's pronounced, has ascended to solo position, possession of the top position. Jack W.C. 94 in second with Fabsy. We go back again to Lachlan H. And Chins get the wins and some back. And we go back another point to returning champ Andy Duhigg WKL3. I suspect is our patron that we just gave a shout out to, Winston, and Loz with about 5 Z's on there. So it's 3 points between first and 10th, which has probably opened up more than it usually does, to be honest, considering it's very early in the season. I mean, we're only sort of not halfway yet, but congratulations to those on top. May you have continued success in your tipping, and I don't know where I am, but pretty fucking ordinary, I'd imagine. Boys, anything else that you would like to add before we put a fucking fork in this one?
It's done.
Now that I've been talking about my grandparents fucking, I'd probably need more of a cold spoon than a fork, but I'm done regardless.
Confirmed. Glenn's got off the joker.
You're some fucking weird kinks, man.
From you. Fucking how very... I don't know if I should be insulted or fucking chuffed.
I'm not the one trying to find my prostate with a teaspoon.
I think that's it.
On that note, I think that is it. I'll talk to you fellas on Sunday.
Okay. Later.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.